Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
In some of those secondary reviews, people didn't have the right forms, so we would contact them. They had time to fix it, right? Okay. So I know of at least three candidates that brought in additional paperwork. Had it come in earlier, and that's why we always tell candidates to come in early, you know, if we'd caught it and he'd had time to get it to us before noon,
right?
Then it would have been curable.
That is Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender talking to me on Monday about the John Johnson failure to qualify in District 3 in the commission race against Lumen May. But those same clarifications wind up being really problematic for him because of the now disqualification several days after the fact of Bruce Childers running against him in the Supervisor of Elections race. Bruce has actually put a post up on Facebook about this. This is a very strange story, and I think it looks very bad for the Supervisor of Elections office. I should tell you this in advance. I'm very good friends with Robert Bender. I like him. I admire him. I trust him. He's always been very responsive to me, and I consider him to be a very decent person. But this looks very, very bad. We'll get to that in just a second. Bruce Childers posts up on Facebook about 4 hours ago. This may take a bit, but I think I owe it to my friends and the citizens of this county to tell what happened. On Wednesday, June 12th, I filed to run for the Office of Supervisor of Elections. Qualifying for that office ended Friday, June 14th. We were assisted by the senior qualifying officer. When we went to file our forms, we filed a receipt or summary page of our Form 6, the financial disclosure form, which included the watermark, an opaque image, which is added upon the completion of electronic filing. We were told at the time that is all we needed to file. The qualifying clerk carefully initialed each item filed, including the blank for financial disclosure, indicating she accepted as complete the financial disclosure and stated at the time, quote, this, meaning the receipt from the Division of Elections where we filed the Financial Disclosure Form 6, was what was needed, end quote. Pam Childers, the clerk of the court and comptroller, his wife. Pam, who was with me, asked the qualifying officer what she needed to fulfill the Form 6 requirement, since this is a new process for candidates. The qualifying officer responded by drawing a square in the air with her fingers, indicating one page, and responding, all we need is the page with the watermark. That is sufficient, end quote. We gave her that and completed our filing. We went to the bank to open a campaign account. Ironically, you can't do anything until you file, including opening an account, and you need a check drawn on your campaign account to be able to file. It is, I agree, a bit of a catch-22. We came back, gave them the check, and upon leaving, I again asked if there was anything else we needed, to which she responded, you're complete, you're all good. That's a quote. We checked later that evening, and the supervisor's website indicated that I was qualified. Their website continued to show me as qualified. This information was disseminated to the local newspaper and the public in general. Acting on the belief and in reliance on the representations of the Supervisor of Elections senior qualifying officer that I had successfully qualified for the election, I spent over $50,000 of my own money for billboard signs, campaign materials, and hiring elections consultants. On Thursday, June 20th, so that's yesterday, that's 6 days after the Friday qualifying, right? And 8 days after he had filed, meaning there were 2 days of interim. Okay? On Thursday, June 20th, I received an email from the qualifying officer, not even from Robert Bender himself, that I was disqualified because I failed to provide a copy of the full and complete financial disclosure Form 6. It should be noted that between June 12th and Friday, June 14th, the last day of qualifying, no one from the supervisor's office called, texted, or emailed me that my paperwork was deficient. Florida statute reads, the qualifying officer shall make every reasonable effort to notify the candidate of the missing or incomplete forms and to inform the candidate that all required items must be received by the close of qualifying. Florida statute also says, in determining whether a candidate is qualified, the filing officer shall review the qualifying papers to determine whether all items required to be filed have been properly filed and whether each item is complete on its face, including whether items that must be verified have been properly verified. In other words, it was incumbent on the SOE to attempt to notify me that the receipt itself was not enough. The entire Form 6 was required. Now, at this point, I have to say I am an attorney. I read statutes. The statute in this case are a bit, to say the least, ambiguous. It reads, a candidate not subject to an annual filing requirement does not file with the commission, but may complete and print a full and public financial disclosure of interest to file with the officer before whom he or she qualifies. That word may sounds permissive, not mandatory to me. Andrew McKay agrees. But I guess I believe to my detriment the qualifying officer knew her job, knew the requirements every candidate must meet to properly be qualified, and I'm still baffled by the fact they did not contact me, notwithstanding they had a statutory obligation to do so. Maybe I shouldn't be, but I don't know. I say all this to tell you all of this did not need to happen. This could easily have been remedied by just accepting my financial disclosure, or at the least by letting me know I needed to file the Form 6 before the qualifying period lapsed. This impugns the integrity of the Office of Supervisor of Elections. The citizens of this county should be able to trust that the election process works for them, that the elections are fair and not subject to the caprice of the Supervisor of Elections. You see, constitutional officers have discretion. The Supervisor of Elections is the sole arbiter of whether a candidate has properly qualified. It's not up to the Commission on Ethics or the Division of Elections. It's up to the SOE. For those who know the history between Robert Bender and my wife over his 58% pension, you have probably read between the lines. I will leave it at that. In closing, I will say that while the damage to me is personal, there's no injustice done to the public in allowing me to remain on the ballot. In fact, to the contrary, to continue to allow the Supervisor of Elections caprice to stand will effectively disenfranchise the citizens of this county from the opportunity to vote for and elect the best person to represent them as their Supervisor of Elections. Thank you for all your support, and no, this is not over, Bruce Childers. I expect the lawsuit. I expect the judge to agree with Bruce Childers. I expect him to be back on the ballot, and I expect that anybody who knows this story is going to think either that Robert Bender did it on purpose, I don't believe that, or did it through some sort of institutional incompetence or failure to perform duty in the office, which they're going to use to judge whether he does the office right or not. Both are bad. One's a little bit worse than the other, but they're both bad. And again, I say that as a friend. I say that as somebody who likes him and hates to see this happen, but democracy has been denied in this case. I don't see any other conclusion. But I think a judge will fix it, and then it'll be up to the voters to cast their ballots. That'll include both of these men in the primary in August. 6:16 on News Radio Pensacola. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. No accidents to let you know about I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Still seeing those backups between Olive Road and I-10. It's all on Davis Highway right there. So just be aware of that. Allow some extra time. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon, the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
Gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the state of Louisiana. After this week's decision to tear down the wall of separation between church and state by requiring all school classrooms to display a Ten Commandments poster by next year, the poster must include an explanation that these rules were, quote, a prominent part of American public education for almost three centuries, end quote. Also, displays of the Mayflower Compact, the Declaration of Independence, and the Northwest Ordinance are allowed, but not required. Obviously, we are horrified by this development. Have we really worked so hard for all these decades to stamp out every last vestige of public religion in America only to have children instructed to be accountable to God, their parents, their spouses, and to respect other people's property, all in one fell poster? No, I say. If the impressionable minds of children start thinking the Bible is some reliable source of guidance and instruction, can you imagine what horrendous things they might find inside its pages besides just these Ten Commandments? They might learn about the love of God, the consequences of sin, the wisdom of the Proverbs, or even, gasp, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But obviously, the Ten Commandments themselves are unacceptable. Putting aside the problems with having children think about God, respecting His name, putting Him first in their lives, and dedicating a whole day each week to Him, literally every commandment is contrary to our own religion. Honor your father and your mother is obviously a heteronormative cisgender marginalization of anyone who's got two mommies or two daddies, and it implicitly criticizes single-parent households, affirms the highly restrictive nuclear family, and teaches children the unacceptable principle of submission to parental authority, which we've been trying to subvert all this time. Thou shalt not kill certainly overlooks the obvious right of women to terminate a pregnancy and for the old or the infirm to end their miserable lives through euthanasia. Thou shalt not commit adultery reinforces the sexually restrictive concepts of waiting for marriage, getting married, and staying married to one person of the opposite sex for life. What is this, 1990? Thou shalt not steal only serves to reinvigorate the misguided concepts of private property and capitalism, as if anyone's property isn't really everyone's property. Thou shalt not lie implies that there is such a thing as objective truth, and that somehow words can be either true or false when, of course, we preach that truth is in the eye of the beholder, because relativism is our entire worldview. If there's no such thing as truth, how can anyone even really tell a lie? Am I right? And thou shalt not covet? How can we promote class envy if we don't make coveting a way of life? And if there were no coveting, how would we justify the redistribution of wealth from those who earn a lot to those that earn little or nothing? No, these Ten Commandments are no way to build a morally relativistic, sexually liberated, collectivist society of self-indulgent, rebellious hedonists. Obviously, we cannot have such dangerous ideas taught to children in Louisiana schools, or anywhere else for that matter. woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, World Aquatics, the international governing body for all water sports, after it prohibited transgender swimmer Leah Thomas from swimming in the upcoming Paris Olympics and won its legal case against her in the International Court of Arbitration for Sport. Thomas, who of course became famous for being the first transgender athlete to win an NCAA college title in 2022, had sued to overcome the prohibition against athletes who had experienced any part of male puberty from swimming competitively as women. In denying Thomas her Gaia-given right to identify as the gender of her heart rather than the gender of her body, World Aquatics has shown itself to be yet another agent of patriarchal repression. Refusing to usher in the golden age of genderless liberty, our parishioners mantra for daily. The claims by World Aquatics that anyone who's experienced male puberty has physical advantages in endurance, power, speed, strength, and lung size even after testosterone mitigation are true, but of course totally beside the point. Women's sports are not intended for creating a fair and safe space within which women are protected from male physical domination. Women's sports are in reality just another platform from which we can continue to advance our goal of total gender anarchy and liberation. Although the rainbow-colored rings of the Olympic Games appear to be LGBTQ+ positive, sadly, until men are free to beat women at their own games, they will continue to be the segregated, repressive chains of transphobic cisgender bigotry that we see today. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to talk a little bit about the excellent example of woke-topianism being implemented in Spokane, one of the more vibrant street intersections in this idyllic corner of the People's Republic of Washington, has been painted with the pride flag. But local teenagers have been defacing it with their lime scooters by deliberately creating skid marks on the hallowed rainbow mural. But the reaction to all levels from Governor Jay Inslee down to the local police has been beautifully ferocious. He signed into effect a law making it a felony to deface a public mural, and one of the older teens is now facing up to 5 years in jail and a $10,000 fine. As the sixth commandment of our religion teaches, thou shalt not trifleth with thine holy rainbow flag. Now, for those who say this is excessive punishment, we ask, is there any such thing as going too far in hurting people so they learn the lesson that you must love everyone? You must love everyone! Moreover, Lime has now geofenced the mural so that scooters aren't even able to ride across it anymore, properly protecting this sacred road space from the hate-skidding antics of those troublesome teenagers who tried in vain to smudge out gay pride with their pathetic rental scooters. What we particularly love about this whole episode is the clear message being sent that once a rainbow flag touches something even as mundane as a road, it transforms that thing into a hallowed object of veneration and worship. That formerly humble intersection is no longer just a stretch of asphalt, but now a sacred nexus where the entire community of non-judgmental love, pigmentary art, and the manifest presence of the holy acronym string come together in a way that brings a tear of joy to this pastor's heart. As the above-average book says, "Yea, though I scoot through the valley of the shadow of bigotry, I shall fear no skid mark. Woe unto all who offend."
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please be sure to sign the Get Better Soon card for Annabelle Fishwaller, who suffered an extreme bout of euphoria at last night's summer solstice celebration and hasn't woken up since. As many of you know all too well, worshiping the planetary high points can be a powerful and transcendental experience. Refreshments this week are provided by Blank Slate, the all-natural gastro cleanse pub featuring 17 different flavors of chalky smooth diuretics and laxatives. Yes, you can wash down a lovely high-fiber snack cake with a joyful swig of Blank Slate, lime, lemon, boysenberry, and now again available in original Mylanta flavor. Wipe your intestines free with a shot of Blank Slate. You can really taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
628 on News Radio Pensacola. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Again, every Friday, how do I follow that up?
Oh, with traffic.
Goodness. Wow. No accidents to let you know about right now. Still seeing some delays if you're traveling from Johnson Avenue all the way to I-10 southbound. Starting to see some northbound delays also on Davis right there, so just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The World Health Organization warning customers of fake copycat versions of weight loss and diabetes drug Ozempic. California professor Tim Mackey says he and his team bought some of the fake medicines to see what was actually being sold.
Three were scammers, and another three sent us products that had questionable quality safety issues associated with them. Patients, one, could have been scammed out of thousands of dollars, and two, they could have taken a product that had too much semaglutide in them and could have been injured from that as well.
And the WHO issued warnings about the phony medications yesterday. They say they could be harmful, even lead to death from unmanaged blood glucose levels. The U.S. made pier to deliver humanitarian aid to Palestinians has been reattached now on the coast in Gaza. The pier had to be moved last week because of bad weather in the Mediterranean Sea. It was the second time since it was installed last month that it's had to be moved. And Queen is apparently selling their music library. Guess how much money they're getting for that?
I mean, it's probably $500 million or something like that.
More than $1 billion.
Wow.
Their agreement with Sony includes the name and likeness rights to the band as well.
So that's all of your like future AI produced digital reproductions of them singing future AI composed songs. With, I mean, you know, bringing Freddie Mercury back to life. Just, I mean, who knows what would happen in the future with that? Wow, that's but you know, it is hard to turn down $1 billion. It's hard to turn that down, frankly. All right, David's got your local news coming up next, right after Fox.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. The clock is ticking closer to the first debate showdown on CNN between President Biden and former President Trump. The president at Camp David to prepare, while new Fox polls show
62% of people disapprove the president's performance on inflation. 58% disapprove of the performance on the overall economy. 63% disapprove the president's job performance on immigration.
That is Fox's Edward Lawrence. The debate airs on CNN Thursday night. Former President Trump awaiting a Supreme Court ruling as to whether or not he's immune from prosecution in his election interference case.
Now, the possible outcomes are pretty clear here. They could rule a president has complete immunity and his prosecution goes away. They could reject Trump's claim of immunity and the prosecution moves forward. Or they could render a split decision, which would really draw out the issue.
Fox's Griff Jenkins. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 73 degrees. It is mostly clear skies and looks like an absolutely beautiful morning. Of course, we'll get more on our weather with Channel 3 in a couple of minutes. Florida Highway Patrol has identified the victim of that fiery crash on the Escambia Bay Bridge last week as a 44-year-old cantonment man. That update was provided on Thursday. The man's name has not been released. The crash happened last week, Thursday, on I-10 East from Pensacola into Milton. There were four vehicles involved in it. Aside from the man that died, three other people were also taken to the hospital with minor injuries after the crash. FHP still investigating. A 22-year-old man has died after a drive-by shooting in Pensacola on Thursday. Police say that happened at West Gonzalez and North M Streets.
Maybe four or five shots. And I'm like, wow, them gunshots. And a few minutes later, we had like five, six more. We don't have that problem. Not over in this area, we don't have that problem. I mean, it's been, I haven't even heard of anybody getting shot in this area. This is like the first.
And that's somebody that lives near the scene there. PPD spokesman Mike Wood says this shooting has not yet been connected to a string of ambush-style shootings that have taken place around Escambia County in recent months, although he does say the investigation is still very young and, of course, ongoing as well. The victim died shortly after that shooting at a local hospital. He was identified as 22-year-old Terrell Omar Owens. Another high-profile race in Escambia County being won unopposed now. News Radio's Joe Ford.
Yeah, yesterday it was announced that Bruce Childers didn't qualify to run against Escambia Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender. According to Bender's own office, Childers' full and public financial disclosure, also known as the Form 6, was not provided in time for the qualifying deadline. Childers, the husband of Escambia County Clerk of Court Pam Childers, according to EscambiaVotes.com, Childers had spent $42,000 this month, the vast majority of it in political advertising. A total of $100,000 in campaign funds was a loan from himself. Joe Ford, News Radio, Pensacola.
Thank you very much, Joe. And, of course, Bruce Childers releasing a statement this morning on this incident where he describes this from his point of view, and Childers says that he did file the financial disclosures days before that deadline and was never told there was an issue with the paperwork. He also says he was listed as being qualified on the county elections website until days after the deadline. Now, you can read Childers' full statement on the News Radio Facebook page. Two bills have been signed into law by Governor DeSantis. They're pro-veteran bills. One of these is House Bill 1329. That'll expand veteran benefits in the state.
And these are programs, many of which are designed to help the veteran transition to civilian life.
It'll provide disabled vets with free hunting and fishing licenses, also require middle and high school students to learn about veterans and Memorial Day in school. The other bill will expand eligibility for care at long-term veteran care facilities to spouses.
Futures are mixed. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 299. The NASDAQ lost 140. That's your money now.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
This is Pastor Carl Gallups of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. And the Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not. Regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
There are over 15,445 radio stations in America. But out of all those stations, a panel of judges representing the broadcast industry, community service organizations, and public relations firms chose the top 10, including News Radio Pensacola, to receive the 2024 National Association of Broadcasters Crystal Award for exceptional year-round community service. Thanks to you, our listeners. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and today is our last installment of the training and exposure to firearms use in police situations that I got with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office last week. Today, dealing with an actual chance to go out on the range and try some of the equipment out that they use. First ones that we were looking at were the less lethal arms, such as the beanbag shotgun and then the foam ball simunition 40 millimeter.
Back with BBs inside of it.
Okay.
So that it doesn't penetrate the human body.
Okay.
But definitely lets you know you've made some mistakes and that you should definitely probably comply, but it's a less lethal direct impact.
So it's a shotgun shell that has basically a beanbag inside of it that comes out the barrel of a specially designed shotgun that's orange on the outside, so you can very clearly tell it's a less lethal firearm.
Ammunition.
Okay.
So you got that one, and you got that one.
Yeah,
so
you'd rather take the other one, I think, if you had to.
I'd rather not take either of them.
Fair enough.
Honestly?
I've shot somebody back-to-back with that bad boy, and it looked like you had implanted a cantaloupe inside of his abdomen.
Oh, okay.
And the other one is just like a foam ball, basically, and it looks so harmless, but I don't think so. So I went out on the range, and he gave me some introduction on the beanbag shotgun, which is basically just a 12-gauge, except that it's reconfigured for this purpose, right?
All right, so beanbag shotgun platform. It's typically used for less lethal. So we have a non-compliant individual that's exhibited some kind of violence, and we've got to step up the use of force. This is a way to attempt to take someone into custody that is non-compliant but still showing some kind of resistance, violence in some manner, and it's part of their use of force.
And they look like this? The ones you use look like this?
Yes, sir. Like, you can see that you're seeing less lethal. You're seeing orange stock, and you're seeing that we're trying to let everybody know that, hey, not a real firearm is being utilized. We don't want any mistakes. We don't want anybody subsequently firing because they hear a gunshot or think something, just so that we know that, hey, we're going to deploy this type thing. So we're letting everybody in the area know less lethal, less lethal. And then also from the frame and seeing the orange on the gun, visually they also know that this is a less lethal device. So typically it's just like your pump shotgun. So right now I've already loaded you several rounds into their shells into the tube here. Is that whenever you're cycling the gun, this is your safety here, just like you just dealt with. You can see red, just like you asked about earlier, is that we're flipping it on to safety. For the first round, you'll actually be manipulating this button right here. You'll be pushing this up.
Yeah, it's a little complicated to load the first one, but not significantly so. And then everyone thereafter is just a standard, you know, pump it and you're good to go. So, firing, and this is from about 50 feet. 40 feet, something like that, I would say, away from a metal target.
Perfect. All right, so now you can go back to your trigger device. All right, so now you're going to weapon off safe when you're ready. Sights aligned. Smooth trigger to the rear.
There you go. First one on target.
A little high. Come down just to the body a little. Good.
No recoil.
Good.
That's very easy to shoot.
Yes, that's what I said. They report back to it. That's the ease of dealing with it.
See, I also had a chance to shoot the Benelli, the semi-automatic shotgun, the 12-gauge, and I was very sore the next day from that. That was definitely, that'll stress your muscles a little bit. This was just nothing. It was like shooting a BB gun. I mean, it was really, really easy to shoot. And then the 40 millimeter, which is a like a breakdown style instead of a pump action. So you break the gun in half, you put a round in the barrel. Like think of a double-barreled shotgun, only it's single-barreled. You click it back together and then you shoot.
This one we're going to probably back up just a little bit more because
they bounce a long way.
It has a likelihood of,
so we might have gone to like I don't know 80 feet. Right, I'm just there. Guessing.
Okay.
I wasn't measuring.
Same stance, same setup. Nice and smooth on the trigger. It's a long, long trigger, so just expect
very,
that.
Very, very deep trigger. Reload.
Drop the next one in.
Dump it out.
Click it back together. Good. Good. All right, let's go ahead and hit that breech.
6 for 6.
And then you dump it out. Perfect. All right, closing your breech. Weapon back on safe.
So that's what you would have gotten hit with.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem so bad.
So you would say you want to take a live hit of it?
Oh, no. No. I mean, I'm tempted, but no.
Yeah, no. You tell me it's a cantaloupe, and I'm like, no. I'm not getting tased. I'm not getting shot with the pellet gun or the beanbag.
Take one for the team, because that's great audio right there.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that. No. Okay. I mean, I've gotten hit in the face with airsoft, so I'm, you know.
But
I'm
haven't been tased yet, have you?
I haven't been tased. You know, I've taken paintball. I've taken multiple airsoft, and that hurts a lot. So whatever. And then we did get to have, I will just be honest, a little bit of just fun, which is the AR-15. The fully automatic AR-15 that is not standard issue, but that the SWAT does have.
Right.
All right. So what you're wanting to do is you will rotate this hand.
Actually, you know what? Let me pause there. We'll come back to this in just a second and finish up. John's got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. But if you're at the intersection of 9th Avenue and Airport, I mean, Brent Lane, sorry, 9th and Brent Lane, you're going to see traffic in all directions is backed up. So just be aware of that. Other than that, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you're thinking about buying a home, selling a home, or just, you know, like maybe the first one, maybe you live with your folks or just got your job or live with roommates or, you know, whatever, or you've just been renting, okay, whatever the case may be, first-time homeownership is scary, and especially you watch the market and the rates, and what do you do? You know, is stock going up, so prices are falling? You know, all of that. Good questions. Ask your questions. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty will not just have good answers, but they'll help you ask better questions. Like they'll get to know you, understand what you're trying to accomplish in buying a home or selling, you know, either way, and then make sure that you get your goals accomplished, not just what you think is the right thing to do. And of course, ultimately, it's up to you, but they're there to advise you, to help you figure out the stuff that you don't know so that you get the best outcome when you're really done with the process. 723-9158. They sold 175 homes last year. That's pretty good. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. All right, back to the range with Lieutenant Drew Kilgan, learning the AR-15 semi-automatic, and then we'll see what happens after that.
All right, so what you're wanting to do is you will rotate this hand just a little bit, so okay. That's going to get you a little bit more dominant grip on it.
Okay.
We're going to go top of the barrel instead of underneath it.
So toe point forward. Our hips are forward, but I'm kind of leaning on the ball of my foot on the left-hand side just to get myself a little bit more forward pressure, and those shoulders are over the hips and over the knee.
Okay.
So that whenever I'm decide to go to full auto, I've got a good base to keep that gun down. For any reason it starts crawling, I'll holler cease fire. You just come off the trigger and we'll reset from there.
And they had not only him, but they had a training officer standing right behind me just in case.
All right. So we're going to flip it just to semi-auto, and we're going to have to go a couple practice rounds. This time, give me two rounds.
And I had fired an AR-15 several times before rounds. Semi-automatic, so I was familiar with that operation. Good. But I was bummed because I seemed to be shooting low on the target. We were standing only like 10 feet away.
But I'm shooting low.
Exactly. So your muzzle is here, and we're real close right now. The gun's zeroed for 50 yards.
Oh, okay.
So what's the space between this muzzle and that dot?
Okay.
About 4 fingers. So. What are you low of it right now? 4 fingers.
Okay.
Right, so this gun zeros to be exactly on at 50 yards.
Okay.
So I know my holdover on my entries. If I had to shoot you here, I got to aim right here.
Got it.
So that's part of like SWAT guys and hold off and dealing with close entry and tactic work.
Okay.
Cool. Are we wanting to do full auto or you want some more semi-auto?
I'll try it. Full auto.
Okay.
I'll try it. Which? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
So rotate her all the way around.
What do I need to be prepared for? What's the gun going to do on me?
It's going to want to crawl up.
Okay.
So that's why we're using this thumb right here. It's just basically keeping the gun down. I don't want to drive it down, but I'm going
to... My habit in airsoft or anything else is to hold my hand, like if there's a foregrip or something, but underneath the barrel. Because you don't have to fight the gun at all with your front hand. When you're firing fully automatic, you got to fight the gun a little bit because it wants to crawl up. So you put your thumb, you rotate over the top to kind of hold the gun down is what he's telling me.
My body weight forward, Ben's going to stand behind you. He's going to have a hand behind your shoulder. And at any time you feel the gun crawling up to the top of the target, you're just going to let off the trigger.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep. See
if you got one more in there.
He says, see if you got one more in there. He counted.
How good am I?
How good am I?
That's pretty good counting.
Yeah.
The other guy.
You want some more full auto?
Well, that's fun. But I would never use it that way.
So let's put it back on safe.
Yeah, put it on safe.
And that was my sense after doing it is I thought, it's fun. But it would be of no use to me. I'd rather use semi-automatic because you can control your fire. You can control your ammunition better. It's not just randomly spraying all over the place. It's a more effective weapon in my hands, semi-automatic.
Want a more full auto?
Sure. Right. I mean, I'll do kind of both because I feel a lot more comfortable with it on semi, frankly.
Yeah.
Like it'd be
yeah.
more useful because
you can control.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, yeah, I did get to have a little bit of fun at the range. Just getting comfortable with it again. Give it a second.
If you want to hit the dot,
yep.
Put the red dot at the top.
And they're using red dot sights, which projects a red dot through the scope onto your target. So you just basically put the dot where you want it and pull the trigger. But, of course, and no, I didn't just, like, let it feed. I didn't just pull the trigger and hold it down until it went all the way out.
You getting hot on you?
A little tiny bit. A little warm.
It really does. Take you around there.
Okay.
Good to go.
Yeah. Well, that's fun. I've done it one time. And my ear came off halfway through, so it's a lot louder.
Oh, yeah. I lost my ear protection about halfway through. It came off the right ear. So I was about deaf in the right ear for a day. But here's what I learned. Okay, here's what I learned. A couple of things. Obviously, they've got a lot of different kinds of rounds. They've got a lot of different kinds of weapons that they can use, various tactics. I learned that, which I knew this already, but it's good to relearn, that some things are easier to shoot than others. The judgment that you have to learn in order to use these weapons effectively, accurately, and, you know, legally in a force-justifying situation is complicated. It takes a lot of practice. And particularly when it comes to the AR-15, I would never need to use one that's fully automatic. I feel very comfortable with the semi-automatic with accuracy and everything else. So the long takeaway from this series that we're done with now is I am that much more impressed with the difficulty of the job, the incredible complexity of working through force scenarios and what to do and what not to do and saving life, and how much training really goes into making you skilled and capable and competent in those scenarios so that you accomplish the mission. I have the utmost respect for our law enforcement officers who do this, and I have the utmost respect for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office and other partner agencies who are willing to invest the money and the time and the training to make sure that the local cops and sheriff's deputies are capable of doing this, and it showed. I mean, I hate to have to say it's true, but it showed at NAS Pensacola. Had they not had the proper training and preparation and all of the other stuff, that could have turned out very differently. And they're better now as an agency than they were even then because of all the things they learned from that and from other incidents and from this new shoot house that they've got to train on. So, Escambia County Sheriff's Office is hiring if you think you're up to it. And they, by the way, they have more people applying than they have jobs. So they're in a very good situation compared to a lot of agencies around the country where they're desperate to get people to apply, which is not true here. They can be selective. 6:53 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. The videos are up on our Facebook page, or at least they will be here shortly. If you've got pests around your home, you've got, ants, termites, cockroaches, fleas, ticks, spiders, you know, mosquitoes, whatever. NSEC can take care of them, all of your common household infestations. They'll come out professionally, show up on time, take pictures of what they find, tell you the treatment. You say yes or no. If you say yes, they do it. They show you pictures afterward. If you do an annual contract, you get $50 off right now. Some restrictions apply for that, so make sure to read the contract. If it's fire ants you want to get rid of, $25 off of that contract. They treat the soil one time, it bonds for a year, and you're good. So estimates are free. NSEC will take care of whatever the problem is. You can sign up or find out more at NSEC.net.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that is Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry. Gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. They're on Creighton Road, right across from Tom Thumb. Emerald Coast Coins.
How long could your business function without email? I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. Three Gulf Coast businesses had their email shut down for 2 days because one employee clicked a spam email link. Be suspicious of any unsolicited email offers, especially if they are too good to be true. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. Yeah, you got This week, it's Vinyl Revival, a six-piece band covering those classic hits from the 70s through the 90s, from Pat Benatar, Blondie, The Cars, The Cure, to Journey, AC/DC, and the Doobie Brothers. You can come out and enjoy at Bands on the Beach. No pets and no glass.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world. But what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel this Monday at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. This Monday at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My father taught me many things here. He taught me in this room. He taught me, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Good morning, 657 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. If you've got a nice import, you've got a BMW, a Lexus, a Porsche, a Mercedes-Benz, an Audi, Genesis, Jaguar, whatever, you might have the idea that you got to take that to the dealership because they're the only ones who know how to work on those cars. No, that's not true. Bobby Likas, they work on those cars all the time. And by law, you're allowed to go anywhere. You don't have to go to the dealership. So if the dealership is at a distance, and that means gas and time and inconvenience and probably more expense, take it right here to Bobby Likas Auto Service. In fact, they now have two locations. They have expanded just within the last week or so. They are now, of course, at their classic location on Davis Highway, but they are also now at a second location, 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, Highway 29, which is right across from the Super Walmart up by 9 miles. So you can go to either one of those. Their philosophy is they want to see you routinely for the preventative stuff so that you don't have to see them catastrophically for the really difficult, expensive, inconvenient stuff. Find out more at carclinicservice.com, the website, or just stop by at either of the two locations on Davis Highway or now across from the Walmart on Highway 29. 6:58, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Supreme Court will be issuing more opinions today ahead of their end-of-month recess. They could rule on obstruction charges against January 6th rioters and abortion access and medical emergencies. President Biden and Donald Trump both preparing for next week's presidential debate. Biden's been training with advisors in Camp David. Trump has been holding policy discussions. That debate will be next Thursday on CNN. The bald eagle has been part of the Great Seal of the United States since 1782, but there's never actually been a push to name it as the national bird. Lawmakers are now trying to change that. They've introduced a bipartisan bill to give the bald eagle that title. Democrat Senators Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith are working with Republican Cynthia Loomis to push that bill through the Senate. A companion bill has also been introduced in the House of Representatives.
What was it like for you as a former Army guy listening to the weapons use?
Oh, it was nice. It sounded like a good time at the range.
What was your phrase you said to me right afterwards?
No, I love the sound of a mag dump in the morning.
There you go. Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, more local news from David coming up, and then we'll talk about the Supervisor of Elections race after that.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.